Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to Reign of Grace Bible Studies. This is a series of 8 30-minute Bible studies on the subject, What is Salvation? Do you claim to be saved? Or do you know others whom you think or claim to know are saved? Well, have you ever really considered what the Bible, God's Word, teaches about salvation? This matter of being saved is the main subject of the Bible. It includes everything God does for His people and everything God does in His people by His grace and in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. In its simplest meaning, the word salvation means to be rescued from a dangerous or threatening situation. Salvation is the deliverance of our souls from sin. Its curse, its dominion, its consequences, and ultimately even from its presence and its influence and its contamination. Salvation is a sinner's complete restoration to God and holiness in the eternal glory of heaven. It is complete reconciliation to God. So it is salvation from the ultimate tragedy, the judgment and wrath of God. Now, the Bible teaches that because of sin, all men and women without exception who fell in Adam deserve and will experience the just and ultimate wrath of God because the wages of sin is death. But it also teaches that salvation is accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivers God's people, whom He loves, from the wrath to come. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, what is salvation? Some people think of salvation as simply believing, but they really don't know or understand what they are required to believe. Others will add repentance, obedience, or even things like being baptized, or making a profession of faith and joining a church. While to others, it's turning over a new leaf or going through a real moral reformation. People often speak of getting saved. When did I get saved? Or when did you get saved? Many speak of salvation in other terms like accepting Jesus as your personal Savior or inviting Jesus into your heart. Now, people do not consider that these statements are not in the Bible. In fact, there's not anything like them in the Bible. And this has led many people to think wrongly that salvation is a one-time event in their lives, something that happened in childhood or youth when they gave their heart to Jesus. But in the New Testament, the verb to save appears virtually in every possible tense of the Greek language. For example, there is a sense in which those who are truly saved have always been saved from the foundation of the world in the eternal mind and purpose of God. There's also a sense in which they who are truly saved were saved when Christ died on the cross as their substitute and surety. There's also a sense in which they who are saved were saved when they were born again by the Holy Spirit and brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible also describes those who are saved as being saved, as they persevere or continue in the faith, and as they are being preserved by the power and grace of God in Christ. And then finally, there's a sense in which those who are saved will be, in the future, saved when they are glorified in the consummation of all things at the second coming of Christ. Salvation, you see, involves all these workings of the Lord in eternity and in time. But as to a person's experience of salvation, the Bible tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It says, he that believes not shall be damned. It also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what does it really mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or what does it mean to call upon His name? If we're to consider the matter of salvation biblically, we must first ask ourselves, do we have the true gospel? Now, the word gospel itself means good news. The Bible tells us the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It goes on to say, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The Bible tells us that there are false gospels that lead to death, so we must get the gospel right. You know what comes in the name of Christianity today has reduced the gospel to formulas like the four spiritual laws, or a set of questions that people ask, and if a person answers yes to these questions and prays a certain prayer, they tell that person, you're saved. And all this does is create false Christians with false hope and a false assurance. There's nothing biblical about that kind of method that is performed under a false gospel. And many today quote a familiar verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16, as the gospel, and conclude from that one verse that the gospel is God loves you and Christ died for you. But that is not the gospel. You see, the true gospel is not that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody. Therefore, it's your decision either to accept Him or reject Him. First of all, that makes salvation conditioned on you, the sinner, and not on Christ, the Savior. Secondly, why would you believe or accept Jesus as your Savior and someone else not believe or accept Him? Is it because you're a better person than one who refuses to believe? Are you less stubborn, less obstinate, less rebellious? Well, the Bible tells us this is not the case. The Bible teaches that man was ruined by the fall when Adam disobeyed God and brought the whole human race into a state of sin and death. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, we read, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. All have sinned, all sin, literally. And that is, when Adam fell, I fell. He represented me and the rest of us. As the result of our fall in Adam, we are all born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, so that left to ourselves, we will not, of our own wills, bow to God's way of salvation and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation. And this is the case for all without exception, unless a way of salvation can be found. Consider that verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in verse 17 it says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now the world of John 3:16 which speaks of salvation, is the world of God's chosen people in Christ who eventually are brought to believe in Christ. You see, salvation is not procured and settled by their believing, but by the death of Christ. And that's written prior to John 3:16 in verses 14 and 15, which reads, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see, that verse teaches that the condition of salvation is the death of Christ. The result is the believing sinner. So this speaks of His death on the cross for the sins of His people. And Jesus Christ is said to be, in the Bible, to be the Savior of the world, not because He's trying to save everyone without exception, but because He's the Savior of all who are saved without distinction, Jew and Gentile. In fact, in the Bible, the word world never means all without exception. I'll give you an example. Case in point is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, which says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness," or literally, in the wicked one. Now, the whole world there certainly doesn't mean all without exception. John himself says, "We know that we are of God." Who are the we who are of God? That's the ones whom God chose, whom Christ redeemed, and whom the Holy Spirit has regenerated in the new birth. The rest are in the wicked one. So the gospel does not tell all without exception that God loves them and Christ died for them. But now listen to me. There's still good news. The gospel does tell all who hear it that God's love is proven and expressed in that He sent His Son into the world to die for His people, and that God's love can only be found and experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 36, listen to this. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And the wrath of God there is the justice of God against sin. So we have to first make sure that we know and believe the true gospel. Now let's begin by stating four vital truths about salvation. Number one, salvation is salvation from sin. As we talked about, man has been ruined by the fall. Death, hell, the wrath of God are all the just penalties for sin. As we saw before, the wages of sin is death. When we speak of Jesus Christ as Savior, we're taught that He saves His people from sin. When the angel came to Joseph to tell Joseph about Mary's pregnancy, the angel told Joseph concerning Mary's child. He said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's recorded in Matthew 1 and verse 21. You see, it's so important to realize that we all need salvation from sin. We all need to be redeemed from sin. So then, salvation is salvation from sin. Secondly, salvation must be established upon righteousness. Now, if you have never thought about or considered what I'm about to say, then you have not heard and believed the true gospel of salvation. And that's this. The greatest problem posed in the Bible is this. If God is just, how can He forgive sin? You see, the moment anyone says God saves sinners or God forgives sin, there's a great theological, legal, and ethical problem that cannot be solved by man. None of the major or minor religions of man have ever been able to solve this problem or even come close to it. Think about it. If God is holy, just, good, and righteous, He cannot forgive sin any more than a human judge can justly set a proven, convicted murderer free by just simply saying, "I forgive you, go free." Now, if I were to say to you that God cast all sinners into eternal damnation and death, there's no problem there. God is just giving us what we deserve and what we've earned. This is what justice demands. The problem arises when we speak of salvation for sinners. You see, God must be just in all that He does. And when it comes to salvation, which is a marvelous act of God's love and grace and mercy, God cannot ignore or deny or even compromise His justice, His righteousness. Now, righteousness is perfect satisfaction to God's holy law and inflexible justice. So if God forgives sinners, if God saves sinners, He must do it in a way that honors His holy law and inflexible justice. He must do it in a righteous way. He must be, as it's recorded by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 45, verse 21, He must be a God who is a just God and a Savior. So salvation from sin can only be attained and maintained based on perfect righteousness, perfect obedience, and perfect satisfaction to God's justice. Therefore, we see that no righteousness of sinful man will do. First of all, men by nature have no righteousness before God. And secondly, because we're born spiritually dead, that is, dead in trespasses and sins, and because we are sinners, we cannot produce the righteousness required by God's holy law. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 10, it's written, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one." Now, who's he speaking of there? He's speaking of all of us by nature. And down in verse 19, it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." All the law can do for a sinner is condemn him, expose him, even at his best, to be sinful and deserving of death. And whenever sinful men and women seek to be righteous before God by their works so as to gain or maintain salvation, they're rejected. Why? Because God is holy and just, and the best works of the best of men do not equal perfect righteousness. The issue then in salvation becomes the great question of all questions. How can sinful man be justified before God? And how can a holy and just God save sinners and remain true to Himself? Or, how can God be just and still justify the ungodly? Consider what it means to be justified. It means first, to be cleared of all guilt. And then, secondly, it means to be actually counted, declared righteous in God's sight. Now, how can this be? Well, certainly not by works of righteousness which we do, have done, or try to do. Where can we as sinners find righteousness or a way to be righteous before holy God? So from God's Word we see, number one, that salvation is from sin. Number two, that salvation must be established upon righteousness. Now, the third truth about salvation, the biblical salvation, answers this problem. And that is, salvation is totally by God's grace, all in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for man who has been ruined by the fall to be redeemed, to be saved, is by being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one and only Savior from sin, and that righteousness only comes by Him. Over in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 21, it says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the Bible presents salvation as conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ, not conditioned on the sinner. The success of salvation is dependent upon two realities. Number one, the glorious person of Jesus Christ, who He is. And number two, the finished work of Jesus Christ, what He accomplished in His death. Consider the person of Jesus Christ. When the angel revealed to Joseph that the baby would be named Jesus because He shall save His people from their sins, as recorded in Matthew 1:21, there was another name revealed showing the deity of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ is God and man in one person. And this had to be for Him to be able to save His people from sin. Jesus Christ, as God-man, was made personally responsible, accountable, to keep the law of God and satisfy the justice of God through His obedience unto death, acting in the place of His people as substitute and surety. And this is the debt of the sins of His people imputed or charged, accounted to Him. Consider the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, we want to preach God's love to His people. Well, we see that in Jesus Christ, God's love freely provided what His justice demanded, righteousness. When Jesus Christ did His great work on the cross, one of the things He said was this. He cried out, as recorded in John 19 and verse 30, "It is finished." Well, what was finished? Well, mainly the redemption of His people. Righteousness was finished, established. And this is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. In fact, that phrase, "the righteousness of God," reveals both the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only grant of salvation. It is the entire merit, value, excellence of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. And this righteousness of God has been freely imputed, charged, accounted to every one of God's elect, so that they are all, as the Apostle Paul wrote, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Now you may ask, well, what about faith in salvation? Well, the Bible tells us that where righteousness has been imputed, faith will be given to receive and submit to Christ as our whole righteousness before God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4 tells us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, as to our own personal experience of salvation, when we are born again by the Holy Spirit under the preaching of the gospel, when the Holy Spirit imparts spiritual life and gives us faith, we believe, receive, rest in and lay hold of Christ, and we submit to Him as our only righteousness before God. So from God's Word, we see, number one, salvation is salvation from sin. Number two, salvation must be established upon righteousness. Number three, salvation is totally by God's grace, all in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's the fourth thing about salvation. Biblical salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. It is not God has done all He can do. Now the rest is up to you. fact, salvation is not a human work at all. And it is not based on, empowered by, or secured by the works or the wills of sinful men. Sinful human beings cannot save themselves, and by nature do not want salvation God's way. Salvation is totally a divine work, both of the Lord and from the Lord. And even the new birth, regeneration by the Holy Spirit, is totally of the Lord. In the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 12, it is written, "But as many as received Him, received Christ, to them gave He power, the right, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not of physical birth, nor the will of the flesh, that is the works of man, nor the will of man, but of God." You see, salvation is the work of all three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the next lesson, we will begin by examining what I call the four realms of salvation. And I call these realms because salvation involves a kingdom in which Christ is the King and His people are His subjects and citizens of the spiritual heavenly kingdom. I hope you'll continue through this 8-part study. And if you would like to receive a free copy of today's program or the entire 8-part study entitled What is Salvation, it's available upon request in an attractive package set along with a complimentary booklet on the same title. I hope you'll join us next week as we continue exploring this subject, What is Salvation?
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.